Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. These are the last words of David, the inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm 132, beginning with verse 1. Please follow the screens. Lord, remember David and all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the Mighty One of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. We heard it in Ephratah. We came upon it in the fields of Ja'ar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of our own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning with verse 4b. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel, reading gospel.
The gospel reading this morning is found in the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 18, verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Good morning, Good Shepherd. I think we can do a little better than that. Good morning, Good Shepherd. It is a fantastic day. A little bit of snow fell on the ground. It stopped so you could drive here safely. We're all gathered in the Lord's house, and it is just a joy and a privilege to be together. Some wonderful things are going on, and I'm excited that you're here. I love the fact that I have the privileged opportunity to share with you this morning. A couple things that I invite you to be praying about is, one, we've got some visitors this morning that are going to share with you, but if you would, keep Pastor Jeff and Tess and Claire in your prayer. They had a wonderful opportunity to have a college visit for Claire, and the appointment or the opportunity presented itself that it would be tomorrow, so they had to head out of town. So we pray that they would be having safe travels as they go on this adventure of visiting a variety of colleges for Claire, and praying that the Lord's will would be done in her life and would guide her. Now, we are, as a congregation, completing a series of mission moments. As a church, we have really, ever since this congregation began in early 1962, serving God in missions and loving kids has been part of our DNA. I personally can remember sitting just right over here as a teenager and having a missionary come with Eastern European Outreach and talk about the invitation, the call to serve in missions. In this case, it was to serve in Russia. And so literally as a congregation, we have sent people all over the globe to proclaim the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Christ the King, because the world needs to know about Jesus. If you go into our fellowship hall, and if you've ever noticed all the flags that are around the fellowship hall ceiling, all of those flags represent places that we have had people in the congregation serve in one form or another God's kingdom. And it is such a cool thing. And God is continuing in that vein in challenge and invitation for us. We have recently heard from China Service Ventures and Children of Peace International, and this morning we have the wonderful opportunity to hear from International Health Partners of Tanzania. Paula and Denny Lofstrom visited Good Shepherd yearly from 2014 to 2019. Paula and Denny Lofstrom first visited Good Shepherd at the invitation of Dave and Claudia Bogomil. Pastor Jeff Nellermo and Pastor James Wakefield, they were too busy to meet with them at that time, so they met with Pastor Christine. She told the two boys how dense they were for missing such a great opportunity and a wonderful meeting to meet with people who had real vision. I kid you not, that is exactly how she said it. Paula and Denny returned in 2015 and met with all three pastors. It was a wow moment for the church and for them as the pastors at that time. And we agreed to explore the idea of sending teams to help them build a children's hospital in Tanzania. The Good Shepherd Missions Committee agreed to send two people to check things out and see if it was safe to send teams. Wally Burton and Pastor James Wakefield traveled as our explorers and came back with enthusiasm for the mission. Because of the extensive travel and cost, the mission committee agreed to send a team every other year. We sent two mission teams in 2016 to help lay the foundation for a new birthing center and to build a fence to keep children safe while they visited for the day at the clinic. Pastor James and his new bride, Dawn, served as eyes and ears for the congregation during their visit in 2017. Don had a profound experience treating children as a pediatric physical therapist. We sent another building team in 2018. They served mainly as painters for the birthing center, and we helped continue to lay the foundation that began in 2016. Don and Pastor James returned as our eyes and ears in 2019. Don was able to continue treatment for some of the same children that she saw in 2017 as well as 2018. COVID-19 canceled our planned mission trip in 2020, which brings us to today. We as a church would like to welcome Paula Lofstrom and her son David this morning. We would also like to encourage and challenge the congregation to consider them as trusted mission partners, that we might consider their hope that we renew our commitment to improve the lives of mothers and children in Tanzania and East Africa. So, Good Shepherd, if you would, please welcome Paula Lofstrom.
I'm short. It's wonderful to be back. Now, we lost my dear Denny. He died during Easter week this year. But we are carrying on his legacy of bringing health care to the people of Tanzania. And this church has been so supportive, so much at the heart of what we do. James and Don have been out, five times? Something like that. And then Dennis and Jolene Dickerson, Dave and Claudia Bogomil, Rick and Andy Frame, Dave Schultz. I think we should add your names to the list. Okay. Now, during COVID, the people that were running the children's hospital at Zynga did a bang-up job. And you know what? We did what we've done three other times. We worked ourselves out of a job. They're doing fine. But meanwhile, Sally, my adopted Tanzanian son, and Miriam, our head nurse, found a place at Chihoni, which is sort of near, it's in the middle of the country, okay, by Dodoma, where women are dying because they cannot get to the hospital in time. There are people that suffer from terrible diseases that it's perfectly meaningless. So we decided to extend the reach of IHPTZ. Fortunately for us, the former prime minister entertained an invitation to join our board. And he said, I'll join your board if you'll add two words to your constitution. Because as it is, we focus on women and children and family care. And he said, two more words, the elderly. Because in this village, this area where we're going, the young people have moved to the cities to get work, and the elderly are left alone. No care, no way to get care. I mean, only 2% of the people own cars. Okay. They're just left. So I'm going to be back here, warning, 2 years. I'm going to be back begging for $100,000 so that we can buy a bus and we can equip it and we can take a mobile clinic to care for the elderly where they need it. So it's women, children, elderly, and we're not going to leave out the guys. Okay. Now, how does this all work for Jesus Christ? All right, we treat everyone that comes to the door. But when people say to us, why do you do what you do? That's our opening. Then we can say, well, there's this fella named Jesus Christ. And we follow what Jesus Christ taught. And then, what did he teach? And so we're inviting all of you to again be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world today, to bring health care and the love of our Lord to the people of Tanzania. We've got stuff for sale out there in the north, the lobby, whatever you call it, made by people in Tanzania who help other people. Christmas is coming. Nothing out there is at Walmart. So we invite you to come and do some shopping. We invite you to come back to Tanzania to serve and to find the love of Christ everywhere. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paula. God is doing some wonderful things, isn't he?
Yeah.
You didn't sound very confident of that this morning. Is the Lord doing some great things?
Yes.
When you have a bad day, is he still doing good things?
Yes,
he is. Amen. All the time. And that is the joy that is in the Lord, is that it doesn't matter. The joy of the Lord is not based on situations. The joy of the Lord is not based on which side of the bed we woke up on, or what diagnosis we just got, or what's going on in our family, or this relationship, or that relationship. The joy of the Lord is what God is doing in our midst, and where it is a good thing in what he is doing, even when we have a bad day. Amen? So, but God is doing some great and wonderful things. It is exciting to be a part of this congregation, to see the fingerprints of God all over. Today is Christ the King Sunday. What an exciting day to celebrate his kingship, to ask the question, what is it to be in the service of Christ the King, King of the universe, King of all kings, Lord of all lords? And we'll consider that. I think a wonderful question was asked while Paula was speaking. Why do you do what you do? Why do we do what we do? Because Christ is King. Before we get into this morning's little message on Christ the King, I want to point out something else that God is doing, and we're very excited. I'm going to go ahead and introduce. I'm going to put her on the spot. That's enough of a leeway right there. Shamber Brown is here this morning with us. Shamber, I'm going to invite you to come forward if you don't mind. Shamber is joining our staff in the Youth and Family Ministry Department, and we're so excited, and I was hoping you might be able to come up and just say a word of greeting to Good Shepherd. Oh, she went downstairs. She was just there a minute ago. So, man, she's quick. Anyway, Shamber is here. Her husband Ramon is here. They're downstairs with Children's Church already. I missed my opportunity to put her on the spot, and the darn lights made it so I didn't see them. I suppose, actually, all of you could quietly slip out and I wouldn't notice you. That might be the telling sign of a message that's worthwhile or not. This morning is Christ the King Sunday. Oh, let me go backwards. If you get the chance this morning, any of you that have any connection to our students, whether they be your grandchildren, whether they be your kids, whether they be neighbors that you've invited to Vacation Bible School or summer camp or other various programs, I'd encourage you this morning to meet Shamber as she'll find her way back upstairs in the lobby, the foyer, the narthex, that room out there, and get a chance to meet her. We're very excited at what God is doing and what he continues to do. Because he is our King. Christ the King Sunday is, liturgically speaking, the last Sunday in the liturgical cycle. I, for one, am a fan. I love the liturgical season because all I can speak of is me. I am one who, I am very routine. I function well with, this is what I do on this day. This is what I do. And I just have these cycles, these rhythms. And I think that's part of, in some regard, our design. We have natural rhythms. So the liturgical calendar is a spiritual rhythm to our year. And it takes us through the year and reminds us what God has done, what he is doing. Next week, we begin the season of Advent, and we're going to continue these conversations about Christ the King, King of Hope, moving forward into the season of Advent. But this Christ the King is the conclusion of the liturgical season. It is the last Sunday before the season of Advent. A little bit of history is that Christ the King Sunday was first introduced in 1925, shortly after the World War, in a direct response globally to an increase in secularism, atheism, and nationalism. There was this reality that people all across the globe, in our sinfulness, in our brokenness, we were turning our eyes away from the Lord. And haven't we been doing that for an awfully long time? Talk about a rhythm that it would be awesome to break and to stop. But in this side of heaven, I think we will continue to fall short. We will continue to sin and grumble and complain and take things on our own. But we have this opportunity to consider today, what is it to be in service of the King? Why do we do what we do? Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of kings, Lord of lords? Well, he is the one that is setting us free. He is the one that is putting the world back in order. So 100 years ago, Christ the King Sunday was introduced in an attempt to turn people's eyes back to Christ the King. Not the king of a nation, not the leader of a tribe, not an earthly elected official. Christ the King of kings, King of the universe. And so it's exciting to be continuing with that. But so today we want to look at what it is to be in service to the King. For many Christians, Christ the King Sunday it's a time to reflect on Christ's kingship and how it applies to our lives today. For many, this Sunday's placement, it is the end of the liturgical year, and it serves as a reminder of Christ's second coming. It is also a day to look to the future and consider how to make Christ's reign manifest in our lives. Christ's reign in our day-to-day, in our interactions with people beyond these four walls, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our schools, in our hallways, on our sports teams, in our music groups, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we do with our time, it is an opportunity to let Christ be King, and it is a reminder of how good he is. It is also a day to witness to Christ, to tell people about Jesus. And we need that reminder all the time. We need to demonstrate the power of Jesus. The way in which he demonstrated power was through weakness. He established justice through mercy. And that is a big amen. This seemingly counterintuitive approach to power and justice is kind of where we're going to find ourselves landing today, because we're looking at Christ the King, and it is beyond our way. It is beyond our comprehension, our understanding, our process that we would put into place. We see in John 17, verse 16, God's ways are higher than our ways. Jesus speaking and praying for us, they are not of this world, even as I am not of it. His ways are higher than our ways. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that is true. We in our sinful brokenness have seemingly struggled with power and justice through all of time. We have wrestled with what it is to be in service to the King or to the world. So we're going to take a little journey back to the time of the judges. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, and we see the tribes of Israel as they find themselves, they have found themselves established as God's chosen people. And one of the things that God was in the midst of doing and is still doing in us today is he is looking to set his people apart, to have his people stand out and be a little different, a higher expectation of living, a higher level of care and compassion, because God wants to use his people to turn the world right side up. So in the time of the tribes of Israel, they were ruled by judges. Now we have to keep in mind, this is not like today's terminology. It's not a judge in a courtroom in a legal environment. It's more tribal living. It's more like a military leader or a commander for a tribe. But this was different than the way in which most rulers and kingdoms and nations were run. Because again, God was setting his people apart. But as you get into the book of Judges, we begin to really encounter the sin and the brokenness of us as humans. The way in which we have failed to abide by his ways being higher than our ways. And so that we see again and again, and in fact, we see it two times that I'm going to mention, Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. It says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." If you sit down and read the book of Judges, I'm just going to give you a heads up. It is not a PG-rated book. It is a pretty, there you come face to face with some hard stories of the atrocity of sinful and broken people. Because we continue to, I don't know about you, but for me, if I'm left to do what I see fit in my own broken and sinful nature, I will go to the lowest common denominator. I will become the center and the most important element, and people have this tendency to walk all over everyone else when we become the center. And as you see this playing itself out in the book of Judges, the people of Israel were then also, because they weren't walking all the time according to God's will and plan, and they were in a place of disobedience, they were under attack. They were being oppressed by various other kingdoms around them. And they began to grumble. And the Israelites, they were fantastic grumblers. They did it so well, you would think it was their profession. It was almost as though it was the 13th tribe of grumblers. But they were the people that would just find complaint, find reason to complain. I don't know, kind of sounds like us today. But they began to grumble, and they began to complain to God. "We want to be like all the other nations around us. Please give us a king. This isn't working." So in other words, they're saying, "We want to be like everyone else." They didn't see what God was in the midst of doing and how he was trying to make things different. So in those days, Israel had no king. God's plan was for his people to be set apart, to be different, but our hearts have long been hardened and disobedient. The Israelites were no different. So Saul became Israel's first king. Saul was anointed by Samuel. And at first, he was a good king. He was a king that was looking to be obedient to the Lord. But again, in our sinful and brokenness, his heart began to be hardened. But God's plan, God's love, God's, the King of all kings, was still at work. He was still working to right the things of this world for his kingdom's sake. And David was soon to become the second king of Israel. He was anointed to be the next king of Israel, even while being a young child. And here we begin to see this insight, this glimpse of what it is to be in service to the King of kings, King of glory, King of the universe, and that is in the way in which David is anointed. In our eyes, our understanding, we would have anointed any one of his other brothers that came to Samuel to come as they marched through one after another. They were strong, they were mighty, they were well equipped, they had life experience, they had all the talents, they were eloquent, they had story after story of how they could do the job ahead of them. But one after another says, "This isn't the one the Lord has. This isn't the one that the Lord has." And in enters little David, the proverbial runt of the litter. He comes in out of the field after caring for the sheep, and he comes in and he's anointed to be the next king of Israel. And what is the first thing he does? He goes back and he cares for the flock. He goes back and he cares for the sheep. He tends to those that are in need. He tends to those that are in that need safety and security and guidance. That is the God that loves us, that is looking to protect us, to watch over us. Now, don't get me wrong, David was absolutely a sinful and broken person just like you and I. But one of the things that made him as a king different than Saul ahead of him and other kings coming after was he's a man after God's own heart. In the midst of his disobedience, in the midst of his sin, in the midst of his imperfection, he loved the Lord. And he was willing to confess, and he was willing to give his life to the Lord. He was willing to strive after, to long after a right relationship, a righteousness that comes through the obedience of God. In 2 Samuel 23, beginning with verse 2, one of our readings that we had this morning, we hear David's last words. These words are not words of regret, words of disappointment. Rather, they are words of gratitude. They are words that we can take to heart today in terms of the King of Glory. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after the rain that brings grass from the earth. Not only is it just beautiful poetic language, but it paints this picture of a king that is glorious and majestic and that I, for one, long to serve. And I can speak to the way in which he has refreshed my life. After coming into a relationship with Jesus when I was 14, my life has never been the same. And I would invite you, encourage you, if you haven't already, to give your life to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to walk in obedience and service to the King, so that when somebody asks you, why do you do what you do, you can say, well, let me tell you about this Jesus that changed my life. When was the last time that we thought of any earthly ruler in the way in which David just describes it in 2 Samuel? The light of the morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after the rain bringing grass from the earth. I can't think of an example in earthly terms of a king, of a leader, of one on this earth that I would follow that with those characteristics. Christ, however, demonstrates power through weakness and established justice through mercy. Fast forward to the time of Jesus coming as a baby. Israel, God's people, and the rest of the world, but we didn't still get it. We had our moments, but they still began to look, we need a Savior, we need a Redeemer, we need a mighty ruler that would come in and save us from military rule. We need a Messiah that would conquer Rome, set us free from Caesar. God had other plans, and again, that plan was to make his people set apart. We see in the gospel message that we just read. There it is. We see in the gospel where Pilate asks a wonderful question, and this is our turning point for this morning. Pilate asks Jesus a profound question. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? In earthly terms, Pilate, much like those that would have anointed David's brothers, he's speaking in terms of what we see, what we comprehend, the job description, the experience, all of the things that we would judge a situation by. He's talking in terms of situation where Jesus' reply is not about what have I done, but it's about the character of God. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done? Jesus replies, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. His ways are higher than our ways. His love is deeper than we could ever imagine. Which brings us to the so what for today. It brings us to the place where we understand why we as a church send people with the International Health Partners of Tanzania, why we would be willing to partner and raise funds to help get a bus to care for the elderly on the other side of the globe, why we send people with China Service Ventures or Children of Peace International, or why just this morning we packed boxes to provide Thanksgiving dinner for 100 families through Sandy Elementary School, or why we do this or do that. It's not about the doing this or doing that, but it's about the character of God, and that is that we serve a king that is above all kings. We love a Lord that is beyond all lords. Jesus called them together, and he said this: "Know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you," says in Mark chapter 10. "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Our invitation is this morning, as it's Christ the King Sunday, as we look to turn our eyes, focus our heart on the King of Kings, we ask ourselves, "Lord, how can you use me today? Where might you send me? How might I serve you? How might I demonstrate your power, Jesus, through my weakness? How I might bring about your justice through mercy?" If you would pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that you are our King, King eternal, King everlasting, Lord of lords. And Lord, we give you our hearts today, and we pray that we would honor you as we sing, as we come to your table, and as we go from this place. In your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.